Would you stand together with me for the reading of God's word? It's such a privilege to be with you, a blessing. I think this might be the third or fourth time. And look at this crowd on a beautiful Sunday in August. I'm so happy to see you here. If you would open your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 16. If you don't have your Bibles, look on with your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, sit with somebody else next week. But in the meantime, point your attention toward the screens. And let's go to the book of Acts chapter 16. I've never preached this before this Sunday, but I felt like, I was telling Jordan on the way here, God just put a simple message in my heart. You know, I've been preaching for a while now, and I've just got to the point where, what's the one thing, God, you want to say to the people? And let's get that thing out there. And I believe that you'll be encouraged by God's word. Acts 16, verse 23 reads, they were severely beaten. This is Paul and Silas. I'll tell why they were taking such a beating. It must have been a bad message, huh? They were severely beaten. And they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here!" The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. One other text for foundation, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." I want to talk to you about being caught up in a world of all your own, all in a world of his own. You ever heard anybody say that? That guy's in a world of his own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. I know what you were thinking. I prayed the same prayer. Paul and Silas are doing a good job. They're ministering. They're preaching. They're setting people free. They notice this young lady who's been bound by a demon, and some manipulative people are using this girl's demonic addiction to manipulate her for their profit. And so Paul says, there's enough of this. I want this next generation free. And he sets her free from that demonic possession. And when demons begin to run, how many know flesh begins to rise? When the church becomes a threat to the authorities of hell, you begin to realize who hell has been talking to. And it is the crowd and it is the authorities that are in that region that absolutely lose their minds. They were able to succeed in their wickedness until a man of God or two came into town. And the beating ensued. It was two beatings that Paul and Silas undertook. It was the beatings of the authorities and the beatings of the crowd. The authorities came in. They used their titles. They used their position. They used their high office. They used their name and their prestige to abuse and hurt and damage somebody that was just trying to help somebody else out. And once they started the beating, and imagine all of these people just fisticuffs against Paul and Silas, the crowd gets involved because, you know, the crowd follows. And imagine, it's like a mob have gathered around. It's one thing to have somebody who's in authority attack you. It's a whole nother feeling when somebody that's in your family attacks you. Can I get an amen here somewhere? It's another thing. It's something to have a manager come against you. It's another thing to have a subordinate come against you. It's one thing to have somebody who you don't know that you work for hurt you. It's another thing to have somebody that you're related to hurt you. And they are beaten bad. And on top of that, they're taken to the innermost dungeon. It is a terrible death trap. They're shackled to the ground. There are mice running everywhere. Sewage running through their cell. It smells. It's utter despair, with zero hope that they'll ever live long enough to get out of it. You and I have the perspective of looking at the scripture from the end of the story, right? But as we read this, let's put ourselves in Paul and Silas' shackles, if you would. There's no good that can come out of this. There's no hope. It's not like there's a bunch of other preachers in jail even. This is over. But we see that they decide that they're going to take their broken bodies and their soreness, and they say, we're going to turn our pain into praise. We may be in a prison, but we're not prisoners. You might be in divorce, but that's not who you are. You might be in an attack, but that's not who you are. You may have fallen, but that's not who you are. You may have been disappointed or been a disappointment. I've come to tell you that's not who you are. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new. God can turn your pain into praise. They decide that we're going to praise him. Now, what's weird about this is that we don't ever see that any of the prophets in the church had sent them a text message with emojis. I see a jailbreak. Come on now. I don't think they DM'd these guys and say, hey, I want to show you this YouTube video of a prophecy. I don't think they get a messenger standing outside the door and say, yeah, the Lord said, ha, ha, thou shalt get out of our jail, ha, ha. Come on. Come on. Don't get me anointed. I'll preach that way if I have to. That's always fun. It's funny. Anyways, it's something when you make yourself laugh, isn't it? And they got, but please, we see that. Oh, I'd praise him too. Would you? If I was in, that's what I'd do. Would you? Would you? Your hair don't look good today. You can't hardly worship God with a bad hair day. Come on now. But then at the same time, I think there are people that have walked into these doors today or maybe walked in last week or maybe will walk in next week. They have no reason to praise him. They didn't get an answer to prayer that they wanted last week. They didn't get the report back that they wanted last week. They still got the court case. They still don't have a date. Come on, somebody. They still don't. The kid still hasn't turned out right. Their body still doesn't. But they do know this. I may be in the situation, but I'm not that situation, for God is still on the throne. Come on. How many glad that God doesn't change his authority because your circumstance hasn't changed. I said, I feel like praising him. I said, I feel like praising him. Even if the wind is blowing, even if the waves are tearing at the ship, God is still good. Now, there's nothing like praising God when you've got an answer to prayer. There's nothing like praising God when your kids have done right. There's nothing like praising God when you thought the worst would happen and the best would happen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a special sweetness to a person who prays God and say, just because I love him, I will praise him. And maybe you're here and you're new to the church. We're talking about it today. I said to Jordan, I said, if I was unsaved, I'd have so many questions about church. But let me just say to you, if you're new to church or if you're doing life in church, can I just say to you, when we lift our hands, it's because we know who's in control. When we sing with tears running down our face, it doesn't mean that we're disappointed in God. We just feel the presence of God. Can I tell you, we can sing and praise God when nothing looks right and we're not crazy. We're just in a world all our own. Come on. Have you ever been caught up in the joy and the presence of God? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the glory of his light, in the light of the glory of his grace. It's a new song. I just wrote it. Before I went into the ministry, I had a lucrative career. I made pizza. On Friday nights after we got it, we'd close at 11, cash out, and we would go down to an old rundown store in downtown Bangor, and out behind the door, store was the pool hall. So you'd go through the front door, a squeaky wooden door, you'd open it, whip, slam, and you'd walk through the wooden floor, and creaky, and you'd go back, we'd play pool. You could almost set your clock to it, about midnight, you'd hear that door open, slam, hear the footsteps, and you'd hear this voice, hello, I'm Johnny Cash. You'd hear him walk through that creaky floor back to the pool hall, and he'd stand there, all 5'7" of him, black boots, black pants, black T-shirt, black Brill Cream hair. How many remember Brill Cream? You could use it today. You don't have to comb your hair for a week. Some of you haven't had to because you got none left, but and maybe that's why, I don't know. And he'd look at us and he'd say, "Hi, hello, I'm Johnny Cash." And we're like, that dude's caught up in a world all his own. All his own. When I first started the ministry working for Pastor Libby, our former pastor, you wore a suit and tie to church every day. Every day you wore a suit and tie. And so I went through a lot of shirts. So I'd take them to the dry cleaner, and I got to meet and become friends with the dry cleaner business owner. And Joe, big dude, crew cut, tattoos everywhere, military, hardcore. Don't know how he got into cleaning clothes, but maybe there's other business going on. But anyways, I'm talking to him, and I just, because I get along better with sinners than saints sometimes. Maybe I'm just barely saved, I don't know. And he owned a laundromat, so we looked over, and there was a big crowd in there, and there's this wiry dude over there, and man, he's dancing like Footloose, put on your Sunday shoes. He's like Napoleon Dynamite doing his audition dance. Like, this guy was, he had a noodle for a spine. I mean, he was getting into it, brother. And people just kind of looking at it like, what is going on? And Joe's looking at, can you imagine Joe? Like, look, and Joe's like, man, that guy's in a world all his own. I'm like, I could use some of that. Whatever he's taking, I'd take a shot of that right now. I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm 52 years old. I'm a low mileage, 52. And I'm starting to see some things I've never seen before. And one of those things that are happening is I find myself talking to myself more. Any wives got a husband that talks to himself? We'll be praying for you today. I was walking through the kitchen just a few weeks ago. I was walking through the kitchen, and all of a sudden I hear my wife say, "Matthew." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know you were here." She, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like defensive and embarrassed all at the same time. "I'm just praying. I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord about you. I'm just asking God to help you." Just because she says, it's like you're in a world all your own. You ever been there? You ever been to that place? You ever been on your way to church and you get to a stoplight and somebody over there thinks they're on American Idol? They're just kind of caught up in a world all their own. I came to Kentucky to tell somebody that no matter what you're going through, it's good every now and then to have a moment with God, that you're not caught up in what's going on in D.C. or not get caught up in what's going on in Wall Street, not get caught up on what's going on in this rumor mill and that problem and that religious thing. Sometimes you just need to put all that stuff aside and get caught up in the presence of God and say, there's a presence that I get joy and I get clarity and I get peace in. There comes a time that you have to just deny the realities. I'm not saying that you ignore them, but you just got to take your focus off them and say, even if this is going on, I will praise him because this is how I fight my battles. Got to get caught up. You got to get caught up in another world, because it could be when you get caught up there, God will go down and take care of the problems down here. Could it be that we're fighting some stuff that God never intended for us to fight? Could it be there's some stuff that God wants to do? He's just waiting for you to get caught up in a world all your own. Abraham went through that. Abraham, the son of an idol maker. Can you imagine how corrupt that culture would be with their love for idols? I guess we probably can. And God speaks to him. He says, "Abraham, I want you to count the stars. Look up there. Look up, Abraham. See the stars. That's the number of your descendants. Now look down." Come on, friends. Come on. Let's look up. Look up. Look up. Now look down. Down here, I want you to count the number of grains of sand on the seashore. Interesting, God says, I want you to get caught up in what I'm doing up here before you get caught up in what's going on down there. Sometimes you just need to get a brighter perspective of what God is doing, because we live in a world of the seen that will be affected by the unseen. I want to live in my own world. I want to get to a place like John on the Isle of Patmos. John was preaching the gospel. They did everything they could to kill him. They couldn't. So they banished him to the prison island of Patmos. And John, being rejected, says and records, "I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." John, you've been abused, you've been attacked, you've been persecuted. People have lied about you. But John says, I know I was in a prison island, but I wasn't a prisoner. I learned how to get into the presence of God, and I found out that this is all just a little bitty speck on the thing that God has in store. That dragon, the devil's going to get destroyed. The church is going to rise. The nation of Israel would be prosperous. Come on, somebody. God is still in control, and he'll get you knowing that he's in control by bringing you into his presence. John Bunyan sat in a prison cell because he was holding services when they said you can't. And his little girl who was blind came for a visit with her daddy. She said, Daddy, I got good news, Daddy. They say if you'll stop preaching on the streets that you can come home. And oh, please, Daddy, tell them you won't do it so you can come home and be with me and Mommy. And Bunyan said, while in that jail cell, he said, honey, if they let me out tonight, I'll be preaching on the streets tomorrow. He went on while he was in prison to write the book Pilgrim's Progress that has traveled around the world and have blessed thousands of people. What did John Bunyan do? He learned that even though while he was in jail, he could get into a world all his own. I don't know if you've ever been to Maine in winter. It's cold. It's cold. We like to think everywhere is cold. That's why we don't ever watch any TV that has anybody with nice weather on it from December to March. Everybody's suffering. We want to think. I mean, don't tell anybody I said this, but when we see hurricanes come to Florida, part of us is like, you deserve that. But there are people that are intelligent enough to say, I'm going to find a home in a warmer area. And they find that there's a place, they get in a world all their own. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how cold life has been lately. And I don't know how harsh people have been with you lately. But God gave us 6 days to come and then get back together and say, look, I want you to come back into my presence. Come back to be with my people. Because I want you to know that all you see out there is not all that there is up there. Be like Abraham and look up a little bit. Get your heart fixed. Get your joy restored. Get your spirit renewed so that you can know that the God who starts a thing finishes a thing, and you're going to be all right before it's all over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas had something in them that says, we're going to be all right. We have a grandson. His name is Axel. He's two and a half. One of the great things that he's been blessed with, because he's my grandson, he's got a big head. I don't know if you noticed that, but I've been blessed. If you ever hear anybody killed me, I'm sure that nobody choked me to death, because that I got no neck. I'll just laugh at you. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. And Axel, oh, he's had a tough time because his body's not built for a manly head. And he just falls down all the time. And Axel's kind of like some of my church members. He falls down and just likes to cry about it. And his mother says, you're all right. You're all right. And he's like, oh, I am all right. I guess I can get up. Bam. You're all right. You're all right. And he gets back up. I had him out to the property of some land that we've got the other day, and every 4 steps he'd fall down. Watch what happened. I should have recorded. On his way down, he's like, you're all right. You're all right. You know what? He was caught up in another world. I'm going to tell you something. When I begin to go through some stuff, I feel that same spirit coming in me. I think some of you going through some stuff, I feel that same spirit coming in you saying, I know what's going on the outside, but I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm still connected. I'm still rooted. God's not against me. Everything's going to work out for our good if we keep loving him. You're all right. Go ahead, elbow your neighbor and tell him, you're all right. You're all right. Paul and Silas begin to praise and get into their own world. Look what happens. All the prisoners get set free. And the man that beat them is now become the man that wants to help them. I just feel like telling somebody, get ready, Three Trees Church. There is going to be some people in these communities that you never thought you'd ever see in church. And they'll be sitting in your row. Because you knew how to get into a world all your own. And this culture is getting desperate for a move of God. I'm telling you, these are the best days for a move of God to happen. And I think it's going to happen in Kentucky. And I think it's going to happen at Three Trees Church. If you agree with that, come on, let's clap our hands and thank God. But there's just one more thing. to get caught up in. There's just one more thing to get caught up in. Sir, with a nice beard over there, you want to come help me? Are you a drummer? What are you? Oh, you're a guitarist. Okay, then I can use you. Sure, come on over here. All right. How are you? Well. Matt Ward. Friendly guy. What's your name?
I'm Jesse.
It's okay. No, you're Jesus. I want you to be on the cross. Put your feet together. There's Jesse, we just put a U in your name. Jesus. And there's Jesus on the cross. And we see the crown of thorns on his head. We see the nails in his hands. The nails in his feet. The stripes on his back until his innards start flowing out. We see his face being beaten. We see his beard being pulled out. You want to see it? You have no friends here. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm learning a lot about you since you came up here. They beat his face beyond recognition. Like a 5-round UFC fighter. Beyond recognition. Piercing in his side, blood and water begin flowing out. That's what you see. The medical report, the coroner's report, would give you all kinds of the medical terminology of what took place and the nerves and the damage and all this taking place in his every system of his body. That's what you see naturally. But Isaiah got caught up in another world. And when Isaiah saw it in Isaiah, he said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. If all you see is his natural body, that's all you're going to get. But when you get caught up in another world, the thorns are to keep your mind at peace. The stripes are to heal your body. Now, the nails to make what you do prosper. The nails in the feet to make your path straight. Can somebody hear what I'm saying? The sword in his heart for your broken heart. And he said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel, to set at liberty those who are captive, and the brokenhearted would be healed. If all you do is look at the cross through a religious symbol, it will do nothing for you. But when you get caught up and find out what he actually did in that realm, your life will never be the same. Sir, can I get your help right here? Yeah. Back up a little bit, Jesse. All right. Hey, buddy, what's your name? Now it's going to matter. This is Gerald. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Awesome. This is Jesus. Like, Jesus, meet Gerald. Hi. Now, stand right in front of him. That's good. Are you part of this church? I have a habit of calling visitors up to the platform. Like, at home, I'll call people to help me. And they'll, have you been to this church? No, this is my first time here. I'm like, oh. Welcome. So we know what Isaiah saw on the cross. He got caught up in another world. He saw it. But the Apostle Paul got caught up in another world as well. For the book of Colossians tells us not only what happened to Jesus on the cross, but what happened to Gerald on the cross. Is it Gerald? What happened to Gerald on the cross? Your hand, if your hands are tired, you can rest on him. You've been up. You've done your time. You know what Paul said? Not only what did Isaiah see what Jesus did on the cross, but Gerald, something happened to you on the cross. For Paul said, when he was crucified, Gerald was crucified. No, it's available to you. See, I think so many people look at the cross as this religious symbol, and they don't understand actually that it's actually it's the doorway to total victory. That's why the devil hates the preaching of the cross. That's why religious people hate the preaching of the cross, because it is truly the preaching of the cross that not only gives you freedom from sin, but victory over sin. Now, I know that this might sound strange to you, because if you subscribe to the thing, well, you have to sin every day, that's actually not scriptural. You can get so convinced that what the power of the cross is in your life. Not only do you not sin, you don't want to sin. Come on, somebody. I don't want OUI. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want to be a pervert. Come on, somebody. I don't want to get caught up in that stuff. I want to know the righteous path of God for my life. The path of the righteous grows greater day by day. If you're here and you're struggling with sin, continue to get caught up into the world and say, Jesus, when you went to that cross, you told me that you broke the power of sin over my life. But how many know that's not the end of the story? For Jesus died. Wake up! Oh, my goodness. That's believable. Guess what, Gerald? When he died, oh! Any EMTs here? Are there any EMTs? This is like a real crime scene. I love it. You're the best actors of the day. I give you a cookie. Guess what the Bible says? When Christ died, Gerald died. But that's not the end of the story, because when Jesus rose, Gerald rose. Come on, to new life. Come on, to new joy, to new dreams, to a new calling, to a new help. Come on, somebody. Do you believe he's alive? And then when he rose, he's the first of many to rise. Come on, give him praise and give him honor and give him glory. For it is in him that I live and move and have my very being, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give him better praise. Give him the best praise you have this year for what Christ has done for you. What he's done. What he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I thank God for what he's done. Would you stand together with me right now? I believe that this is a moment that you can get caught up in a world all his own. Would you lift up those holy hands? The Bible says that God would have holy hands lifted up to him. Maybe you don't know why that is. I'll just tell you, it's a victory stance. God is in control. Now, maybe you're not used to it. Probably you're used to it. But just go ahead, without even them singing the song, you just begin to praise him. I like to say hallelujah. I like to say holy, holy. I like to say thank you, thank you. I like to say I love you, Lord. I praise you. I like to say God is so good. God is so good. I like to say thank you for the cross. Thank you for heaven. Thank you that my family be saved. Thank you that bodies are healed. Thank you that the church is being built in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, begin to praise him in the midst of a divorce, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of heartache, trial, tragedy, difficulty. Come on, it's sweet in the sight of God. It's sweet. He sees more. All we see in the natural is people lifting hands, singing songs. But God sees in the supernatural angels being dispatched, battles being won, ways being made. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today, this morning, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, this is where it all begins. This is where it all begins. I'm going to encourage you to make a commitment today. To make a step towards God. Everybody Christ saved, he called publicly. And Christ wants to save you. How many of you today, if your life were to come to an end, you know that you'd go to heaven without a shadow of a doubt? Lift your hand up nice and high as a testimony. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that beautiful? How many remember the day you got saved? Isn't it awesome? You can put your hands down. If you couldn't put your hand up, I'm telling you, today is your day. Can I get an amen from the church? And I'll tell you this, and I tell the people at home, because I've experienced it. I say this with sobriety, not to scare you, but I can't guarantee you another chance. I can't guarantee you'll ever hear another altar call. I've done altar calls, and I've seen those people within days. That's the advantage of being in one place. I've seen a lot of things. And today, if you're not saved, I tell you, you've got this day. And I think today would be an awesome day to give your life to Christ. I think it'd be an awesome day to come to Christ.